From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. How to regulate drivers for rideshare app-based transportation services like Uber and Lyft has become a contentious issue here in Florida. Should such services have to follow the same rules as traditional taxicab companies and drivers? Local municipalities in the state have drawn different conclusions to that question, and the issue has led to multiple lawsuits against the state. Some are calling for a statewide rule. We'll hear from both sides. Plus, according to the National Education Association, an estimated 160,000 children miss school every day due to fear of an attack or intimidation by other students. This next month will mark National Bullying Prevention Month. We'll take a closer look at Florida laws addressing bullying and efforts to identify and address bullying here in our local schools. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. A case of bullying at Lexington Middle School in Lee County has recently garnered renewed media attention and is currently under investigation by the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights. Additionally, October will mark National Bullying Prevention Month. In 2008, state lawmakers passed the Jeffrey Johnston Stand Up for All Students Act, which requires Florida schools to adopt policies to discourage bullying, both in person and online, or risk losing state funds. The law was championed by former Cape Coral resident Debbie Johnston, whose son Jeffrey took his own life in 2005 at the age of 15, after enduring years of bullying by classmates, both in person and online. More recently, Republican State Representative Heather Fitzenhagen of Fort Myers has been working to pass a law that would criminalize penalties for those who willfully, maliciously, and repeatedly harass or cyberbully another person. The measure was dubbed Rebecca's Law, named for Rebecca Sedgwick, a 12-year-old Polk County student who committed suicide after facing bullying. Her tormentors actually faced criminal charges for a time in that investigation. For the remainder of the hour, we'll explore the current status of bullying education in local schools, the impacts of bullying, and the importance of identifying and addressing the behavior in and out of the classroom. Joining me now is Debbie Johnston, who championed Jeff's law. Before moving to Texas a few years ago, Debbie had been a teacher with the Lee County school system since the mid-1980s. Since her son's death, she's been a tireless advocate against bullying, raising awareness through countless speaking engagements, workshops, and national television appearances. She co-authored Bully Side in America, Mothers Speak Out About the Bullying-Suicide Connection. She founded Students for Safer Schools Incorporated and is affiliated with many other anti-bullying and suicide prevention initiatives and was named one of People magazine's Heroes Among Us in 2008. Debbie Johnston, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be back.
We're also speaking with Florida School Board member and anti-bullying advocate Mary Fisher. Fisher had previously worked as a school counselor, teacher, and prevention specialist with the district. She's a Florida Supreme Court certified family mediator and a nationally certified bully safe trainer. She's also worked as a medical social worker with the Lee Memorial Health System. Mary Fisher, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Connect with our guests with your phone calls to 877-GCU-TALK. That's 1-877-428-8255. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments or questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or follow the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Debbie Johnston, I wanted to begin with you. It's been said that Jeff's Law is one of the most significant anti-bullying pieces of legislation on the books in any state. Tell us about your efforts in getting that passed. I know it took several years.
The 3 years it took to pass was the same as the 3 years that Jeff endured bullying, both in school and through the use of technology. And so it was ironic that they took the same amount of time, and everyone had a real clear idea of just how long Jeff suffered with this before he took his life. So we really were a grassroots organization, and stepping forward, we really changed the way that people went about passing a law. It was the students themselves that provided the input and really did the work behind getting it passed. pretty much we sat back and let them take the lead, and we got them to Tallahassee to be heard.
And, you know, really the repercussions regarding Jeff's Law for schools are pretty serious. You know, people stand up and pay attention when you talk about possibly losing state funding. But how exactly do schools get into or remain in compliance with Jeff's Law?
Well, we had a built into the law where the schools' districts were required to report to the state of Florida, to the DOE, and to the Florida House of Representatives about the incidents of bullying each year so that we could see if the steps we were taking were having any effect or not, and really, you know, give the law a report card so we could see if we needed to go back and tweak it and make it stronger. The problem came from the fact that districts did not like to report, and they would be hesitant to identify something as bullying. Very often it was misidentified in order to avoid the reporting so that they didn't look bad and didn't lose those funds. And so it was really hard to see, you know, is it doing any good or not? Ironically, Florida is one of the leaders in the fewest number of incidents reporting, but we know that there is a tremendous amount of bullying going on in the state of Florida. So I think the problem comes from the fact that districts are either failing to report incidents of bullying or not identifying them correctly, or they have failed to earn the trust of the students, and the students and the parents are not coming forward to report it because they feel that nothing will be done.
So that's generally the main impetus behind why a student might not self-report, just because they don't think anyone would take them seriously. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it sounds like a lot of emphasis maybe ought to be placed on the staff in schools learning how to identify and address bullying. Mary Fisher with the Lee County School Board, what does the district do regarding the 12,000 or so employees that work for the district when it comes to bullying education?
Well, of course, we each, as Debbie said, each district does adopt a policy that prohibits bullying and harassment of a student or an employee in a public educational institution. And each school has a responsibility to have training for all of their staff members. And we do, during our annual training for staff, have an online component that talks about bullying. Many of our school counselors do anti-bullying training not only with the students, but also with the staff. We have many activities and lots of visuals around many of the buildings, saying, bullying, no bullying allowed here, and we treat others with each other with respect and consideration. So it's more of developing a culture. We have the reporting forms. But I will tell you that in the years that I spent working with both kids and parents and staff around the district, kids are often reluctant to report because sometimes they feel that adults, as Debbie said, don't take them seriously, or that sometimes they make it worse,
Mm-hmm.
So and kids are embarrassed, and then they're afraid sometimes that the bully would retaliate on them more. Even those kids who are what we call, witnesses or bystanders, they're sometimes reluctant to report also. So the bullying may exacerbate and get worse due to that, because we need to still continue to work on creating a culture of training all of our administrators to recognize exactly what is bullying and to know that when it is reported, they must take it seriously and protect the person who is being bullied, and also to intervene and get help for the person who is using the bullying behavior. And I think that's another thing that is written in the law. Am I correct, Debbie?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So a contact with a school counselor for both the target and the bully or the person using bullying behavior is part of what is required. I don't know that that always happens.
Well, and we have talked about how, you know, not all bullying necessarily takes place in a classroom under the watchful eye of a teacher. Sometimes it can be, you know, at the school bus stop or on a bus or in the hallways or after school. And then, of course, online. Are schools doing much or enough to really monitor student activity online when it comes to potential issues with bullying?
Well, and of course, that's difficult, but we do provide information in our code of conduct for parents, encouraging them to monitor their kids' activities online. You know, most bullying does not take place in front of the teacher, and kids will tell you it takes place during class change and at recess and in the cafeteria, you know, when there's not really that watchful eye right there. And sometimes it can be very obscure. It can be happening, you know, feet away from you and you don't see it because it's done swiftly. And, you know, there may be a child who's shoved against a locker day after day after day at class change, and no one really sees it. And no one reports it because they're reluctant to do that because they don't know what the consequences are going to be for them when they have to meet the bullying person.
Debbie, I know particularly when it comes to cyberbullying, that's something that you recognized the potential for, I think, before many of us did. Back in 1995, you wrote an article called Cyberspace, A New Place for Counselor Supervision. Even back then, you saw the potential danger there. And then I think just yesterday it was, Facebook boss Mark Zuckerberg announced that he was listening to the demands of millions of users and beginning the trial of a dislike button. Are you concerned about what that could mean for cyberbullying?
Well, I think that we are now taking it much more seriously than we did before. There was a tendency to just say, well, tell the kids to turn it off. And if you know kids, even adults, it's pretty much impossible. You know, it just preys on your mind and you can't. But using these new tools that they're bringing forward and just taking it seriously is a tremendous step in really in addressing the problem, because they found out that, and I believe in Jeffrey's case, that cyberbullying is so much worse than in person, because it's in person it's limited to who's there. It's a short period of time, and it's over and gone, whereas cyberbullying goes on, and it never truly disappears, and it can reach just, you know, everyone that the child knows, people who don't know them, people who they may meet years later. So it's really important that Facebook and Twitter and really any of the companies that handle that are get out in front of these problems and find ways of controlling it, whether it's through, you know, a dislike button, through, you know, very easy systems of reporting, taking the offenders off, or through the legal system. I know I've worked very closely with Perry AFCAB over the years with Wired Safety, and even took my young son William up there at 8 to Washington, D.C. to speak before Senate committee with leaders from, you know, all the major internet companies.
Right.
Facebook wasn't even around then, but, you know, they were already, you know, trying to get out in front of the problem.
Right. Well, you know, I had previously mentioned Representative Heather Fitzenhagen's efforts to pass Rebecca's Law, which could actually provide criminal penalties for bullying behavior in particularly severe instances. I'm wondering if both of you or either of you support that kind of measure. Would stricter laws regarding bullying work very well? Does that serve much as a deterrent when you're talking about kids?
Yes, I think that that does have to happen because of the terrible consequences that have occurred over the years and how many lives have been lost. Mm-hmm. And I know that in the Lee County School District, we have had students involved in incidents of cyberbullying, and law enforcement has been involved. I mean, it is reportable to them, and they do take it seriously. And we have had kids actually go to juvenile detention for that kind of behavior.
All right. Well, we do just have a few minutes left here. But, Debbie, I kind of wanted to give you the final word here. Can you maybe just tell us about, when it comes to your anti-bullying message, you know, what are the main points that you really want to impress upon school counselors and other school employees, and then, of course, the kids themselves?
Really, the buzzword in education for the last two decades has been accountability. And without any accountability, without actually finding a tool for measuring how well we're doing, schools really are just at a loss. I think we need to, to go back to the drawing board and appoint a person. I'd suggest the equity counselor in each school every time a report of bullying is made. The first action of the adult should be to send off a notification to that person, like the equity counselor, just to keep a numeric count of it so they can tell if they're making progress or not. We need to clarify the rules of when it comes under the school's jurisdiction. Here in the state of Texas, and from what I've seen at my son's school, if a parent or a child comes in with a complaint of bullying, at that point it's impacted school and it becomes the school's jurisdiction to do something about it. And the other things are, we need to retrain our administrators. We need to send a clear message that the number of incidents of bullying reported is not going to impact, you know,
right,
how we perceive them as a principal, but rather...
Debbie, I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off. I have to cut you off there because we just have a few seconds left. But thank you so much, Debbie Johnson and Mary Fisher, for joining us. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU, WMKO, Marco Island, NPR for Southwest Florida.